Welcome to Raw Talk on M88. Call in with your questions or comments. Toll free 1-866-730-4921. Or submit your question to Dear DJ at M88.org. Now, it's time for some Raw Talk on M88.
And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo, joined by my lovely co-host, Mandy. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Yo.
I hear you had a rough weekend.
I did. I went to Hamas, and I guess I'm not as young as I once was.
None of us are. I learned that this weekend, too.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, I mean, I don't know. I talked to a lot of people later, or earlier this week, sorry, and I was having a real issue with the fact that I went running and hurt the left side of my body, got, you know, scratches on my knees and stuff like that from, I tripped over my dog's foot when I was running.
Oh, that mischievous mutt.
I know. So, I hurt my left side. And then I'm in Hamas, and I keep, my foot got caught in a rock, and I was running, and this rock tipped over and hit my heel. All these things, but all on my left side.
Okay.
But I have some good news.
Good.
I did get a scratch on my right knee. So
there you go.
We're good.
There's balance in the universe.
There is balance.
That's nice to know.
But yeah, so I'm good. It was fun.
I tried to play football with sixth graders on Friday. We were out at Grant Middle School. They're very hospitable. It was a lot of fun, but I am not in sixth grade.
You are not as young as you once were either.
No, and my body was very loud in its protestations of that fact.
Sad times.
On Saturday, yeah. So we are all getting older. And, Raw Talk doesn't have anything to do with any of that stuff that we just talked about.
Nope.
Tonight, actually, what we're going to discuss are some things that, personally, I've drawn a lot of ire from other Christians, no less, on this particular topic, which has always befuddled me. But it's something that, we need to talk about it because it's one of those contentious issues that comes around every year, and the fight is always renewed each season leading up to Easter. So we're going to talk about fasting and Lent this evening. We're going to talk a lot about fasting, what it is, what it isn't, and then we'll also discuss the season of Lent. But we don't have, a guest pastor or, an expert who wrote a book or anything like that tonight. And here's why I wanted to do that, Mandy. Sometimes it's intimidating to have those people, talk about these issues, especially about something like fasting. Because you always think, well, they have it all together. They're a pastor. He's a PhD. They wrote a book on this. So obviously they know what they're doing. And it can be really intimidating to, ask questions of someone like that about the issue because, of course they understand it. They probably do it all the time. Look at their halo, it's glowing, And so I thought when we discussed it tonight, no, we don't have an expert or anything. We just have two average everyday Christians, haven't published any works on fasting, haven't done great in detail scripture studies and exploring the original Hebrew just a couple of people who wanted to talk about this. We've done some research, so we know a few things, but, basically we're just like you. When I started observing Lent myself, I had some questions about it. I did some exploration, but it wasn't something that I suddenly, I'm going to go around the nation speaking on this because suddenly I'm an expert. So the reason we don't have an expert like that tonight is just so you guys can have a conversation with us.
Right.
That's why we're doing this.
And, I'm on the other side of that. You said you had started observing Lent when you were younger. I've never observed Lent. I didn't even know, and I talked to somebody earlier today about this, I didn't know that Lent was observed by anybody but the Catholic Church.
Very common misconception.
Yeah. Until this year, I had no idea. And the church that I'm going to actually does observe Lent and observed Ash Wednesday and all those. And it really got me thinking about it because, every year you have one day where you walk around and people have this little black mark on their forehead and you don't often realize what it's for.
Right.
And if you do, more often than not, this is what I found, more often than not, people look at that and the first reaction is, one, they're Catholic. Second reaction is usually, well, we don't all have to do that. And so this is really something, like you said, this is something that we each have a personal experience with. And something that really, it's close to my heart, not just because of this, but because of the way Christians view this as a whole. And how it applies to how they view other things as well. So, but this is the, the specific one that we're touching on tonight.
Yeah, so if you want to join in on the conversation, again, it's just that. I'm not going to have all the answers, but I'd be happy to hear your questions or your comments about this as we talk about this. This is just a chance for us to converse about that. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, you won't find the answer that you're looking for, but at least you'll get a chance to talk about it, and you're not going to feel intimidated because some pastor is going to school you, you know, with all the scriptures and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, man, I'm dumb. You know, I don't want anyone to feel that way about this issue. There's so much contention when it comes to this issue. Anyway, I figured, let's just take a real relaxed approach to it. You got questions? Let's talk about it. So you can call in 1-866-730-4921 anytime as we discuss this issue of fasting and Lent. You got questions about fasting? What is it? How do I do it? Give us a call. If you got questions about Lent, I didn't know that anyone other than Catholics did that. When did it start? Why should we care? Isn't that just some ritualistic tradition that just shows how legalistic and religious you are? You know? You got questions? Give us a call and let's talk about it. 1-866-730-4921. This is a chance really for you to own Raw Talk. I mean, we don't have anyone else here that we're asking questions of, you know, trying to talk about their book.
Consider yourself our little guest.
Yeah, absolutely. And or, you know, consider us as the guests and you're asking us the questions.
There you go. You interview
get a chance,
us.
That's right. You get to interview us. So 1-866-730-4921. Toll free. So no matter where you're listening, if you're listening online in another state, you can call in. Won't cost you anything. And join us as we talk about fasting and Lent.
Another thing, if anybody wants to share their comments on this specifically, because I know obviously questions, we'd be happy to answer those or
try to answer them.
Look them up later if you want to email the studio here. But another thing for the comments is just really what Lent and fasting means to you. Maybe you have observed Lent as a Christian and it really has touched you in some way and helped you draw closer to God or. You know, fasting is a big one. I know a lot of people do observe fasting throughout the year, not just a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd really like to get just feedback on that and what it means to you. And I mean, you know, maybe even specific times where it has impacted your prayer life or something like that. Those are great things as well that we would love to hear.
Yeah. So if you have something that you'd like to share about fasting, how fasting has made an impact on your Christian walk, do give us a call, 1-866-730-4921. And so let's talk a little bit about fasting, Mandy. I'm going to put you on the spot, and
all
you can
right.
do the same for me. Is fasting a regular part of your Christian experience?
I will be very honest.
Mm-hmm.
I have fasted before, but I wouldn't say that it's a regular it's not a regular practice. And, you know, this just that's my honesty moment right there.
No, that's
because
fine.
Because my personal view on it is that it should be more regular in my walk. And so that is something, as I was looking at this, there was actually a lot of conviction that came with before this show on fasting and Lent and the time that we're in now before Easter and seeing different people in my church observe fasting and Lent really just hit me because that is something that to me in the past when I has helped me to draw closer in my, especially when it comes down to prayer for me, because fasting for me was always a time where if I was fasting from food, once I got the hunger pain, it was like, all right, I know that this is the time where I can go specifically and talk to God. Every time you feel a hunger pain, it was a reminder, if nothing else. And you don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. Mm-hmm. But it was just a beautiful reminder of, you know, sacrifice and coming before the Lord. Whether it was for just a time where I felt like I needed to fast or whether it was for a specific purpose, if I needed to make an important decision in my life or something like that. And those are just, you know, different times. There are also, and this one's probably more regular since I became a Christian, was fasting from, you know, whether it's TV or specific music or, you know, things like that. You know, it's not always food. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that was definitely... I wouldn't say regular, but fasting from other things of the world, besides food, I think is more regular for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now when you had those moments where you were doing fasting, what was the experience like? You know, I mean, how would you describe it to someone? Because some people think, okay, so you fast, you get hungry, or you fast and you don't watch TV. What is that supposed to do to you? I mean, mm-hmm. is there a way if someone who had never fasted or to talk with you about it, that you could explain to them what the experience was like?
Well, I can tell you that I can remember probably every single one of my fasting experiences. Because the reason behind it was not just, oh, man, you know, that person's fasting. I should probably do that, too, just because. It was never that for me. It was there was always a specific reason behind why I was fasting. And I had had people in my youth group tell me, hey, you're supposed to fast, or we're all going to fast, and you need to fast with us. And it was very demanding. And I, being the rebellious person that I was in high school, never went along with that. And so looking back, I think the biggest thing for me, being able to look back on these fasting experiences, was it was like it got rid of a distraction for me. Because I know for a lot of people, myself included, when you go before the Lord in prayer, it takes some time to kind of clear away the day, to get rid of everything that you thought of, the whether it's stress or just work or whatever it was. And so it's like it took away a distraction for me, whether it was food, which, again, food was a big one, because as soon as you feel that hunger pain, it was like a reminder to go directly to God, praying for strength or praying on the specific need or decision that you're going to make. If it was for anything else, if it was for TV, I would have people sit down and say, oh, hey, let's watch a movie together. And that was time where, instead of being distracted by TV and saying, oh, well, I don't really have enough time to pray, I ran out of time to pray today. It was time in which I could go in my room, close the door, and just sit before the Lord. And even work and school and everything else seemed to fade away just because of that, just because I had eliminated one distraction, given that one thing to the Lord. And I know other people, you know, they fast from a few different things at the same time. But in my personal experience, getting rid of one distraction helped to get rid of all of them. And I was able to come before the Lord and just, you know, pour myself out to Him, ask Him for help if I needed help, you know, in knowing how to pray. It just, I mean, it was beautiful. It really was. And I can't really explain it any other way but that. It just, it takes everything and throws it aside so that it's just you and the Lord.
I think fasting is probably more difficult in our day and age than in any other period in history, because there's so many more distractions, so many more demands on our attention, so many other important things that need to be done right now and immediately. And I think that's why fasting is a dying discipline, because there's just so much other stuff that we quote unquote have to do. And you know, people say, well, we're free, so it's not necessary. And we just let it fall by the wayside because there's so many other demands on our attention, which I think is why fasting is probably more important in our day and age than it has ever been in any other century. I mean, you know, not to make light of it, but, you know, back in biblical times, it was probably easy to fast because you didn't have to worry about fasting from TV or text messaging or iPhones or video games or, you know, eating cake at the candy store. You know, it was there weren't that many distractions. It was probably easier.
Right. Actually, something interesting about fasting in biblical times is, if you notice, because they didn't have any of those things, food was the thing that they needed the most back then. They had a lot of physical energy that was put out through the work that they did back
They walked
in those
everywhere.
Times. They walked everywhere. They were constantly working with their hands, and they needed food for energy. And it was like the thing that they needed the most was the first thing that they put aside for the Lord. And so, no, you know, maybe, I don't know, yo. I think it's kind of, it depends on the person. It depends on what they're willing to give up for fasting. But, you know, it might have been easier in the sense that there weren't other distractions that they had to deal with. But it's almost easier for us nowadays, if we really think about it, because we can go, well, I don't really want to give up food, so I'm going to give up.
There's so many small things we can give up.
Yeah. I'm going to give up texting for a week because that's really not that hard. I'll just ignore them and then answer them all the next week.
Well, it's not that hard for some people. Some people, it's a compulsion.
Well, yeah.
They've found some sicknesses associated. That's a different show. 1-866-730-4921 if you'd like to call in. If you have a comment, you know, how has fasting blessed your life? You know, maybe you could encourage someone by sharing how fasting has made an impact in your life, especially for young Christians who are like, what is this deal with fasting or not fasting? You know, you could probably encourage them. Or if you got some questions, you know, give us a call as well. It's toll free, 1-866-770-4921. 780-430-4921 if you'd like to call in tonight. One of my favorite passages about fasting is Isaiah 58. I'm sure you've read it, Mandy, but it's one that when I came across it the first time, I never really could put it out of my mind as a Christian. And I'll just read it for you. Starting in verse 6, Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. And every time I read that, I just get chills. I'm like, that's powerful stuff, man. I'm kind of stoked for that. And that'd be cool to see that happening. I mean, you know, how many of us don't get excited about it yet? Yeah, you know, we'll fight injustice. Woo! You know, break the yoke. Of course, then some people say, yeah, but fasting is a yoke. Because it's traditional and
that's right.
liturgical.
And, that's right. It's work.
Right. You know, they're like, oh, well, that can't mean that. But I like how Isaiah 58 points out, you know, fasting is more than just some ritualistic thing that you do. It gives you an opportunity to focus on the needs of others, as it says, you know, to share your food, to help clothe the naked. Mm-hmm. And then I love how it goes on about your righteousness breaking forth. Your healing will quickly come. You know, so many people, oh, I don't know why I can't get healed. And, you know, there's lots of things involved with that.
Right.
But here's something that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, prayers going unanswered. I mean, there's just so much in that little passage that gets me so excited when I think about fasting that, I don't know, it just gives me chills every time. And then what's interesting is in the passages before that, it talks about some of the things that you shouldn't do. On fasting, which I think kind of illustrate the way a lot of people treat it today. When you look, starting in verse 3, it says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it not for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And I just, especially the part about quarreling, I find so interesting because often when you mention fasting, that's exactly what comes up.
Yeah,
is quarreling.
People start to fight about, you know, like you mentioned earlier, it's a yoke. It's something that, you know, weighs people down because, you know, we're not supposed to follow you know, tradition, right? That's old school. That's
right.
Not something that we're supposed to really follow because it's not by works. That's the big one that I hear. It's not by works. It's right. By faith. But, you and I were talking earlier, there's still a certain standard that we're called to. No, Lent itself is not in the Bible. It's not.
It's not an ordinance of Scripture.
No, right. but fasting you find throughout the Scriptures.
Uh-huh.
You really do. Like, you know, you read that. There's a handful of other verses that I won't get into all of them. But the biggest deal for me for fasting is the reason behind it, you know, and, you know, that scripture that you just read lists a couple of those, you know, just in a very powerful way, it goes over them. Another thing that I found here, because of the argument, because of the not by works, by faith, and because people look at fasting and Lent as something that is, that's just about the works. You know, a lot of people see it as just that. And I think what we fail to realize is that it's the heart behind it. It really is. Because I know a lot of Catholics who fast, who do it for a very beautiful reason. That is to draw closer to God. They're not, you know, they're not separated and only look at works. That's not, you know, that's not every Catholic. That's not every, you know, you could list anything. You can't generalize that. But I found this verse, and it was just this really neat image to me of how personal fasting is. It's in Luke 5:33. It's 33-35. It says, then they said to Jesus, why did the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of a bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. How personal is that Jesus' disciples, when he was right next to them, they didn't fast. They were eating and drinking and communing with Jesus Christ. But now that Jesus, I mean, he's not, I'm meaning in a very literal sense here. He's not here with us. We can't tangibly touch him and hang out with him and go get a cup of coffee with him. And that's right there. It talks about when he's not here with us, that we will fast, that his disciples will fast, and be in prayer. And we're putting something aside like they did back then, because we want to be in relationship with the Father. We want to grow in that relationship and not just have it be stagnant and still. And so that, I mean, you know, you're talking about all these different reasons to pray. And I really think that touches on what's behind it. It's not to punish ourselves. It's not to do it because, you know, our church organization said to do it. But it's so that we can be in relationship with Jesus. I love that. And it doesn't talk specifically about why you should fast, but just that personal relationship that Jesus Christ and his disciples had. And that being the reason that they didn't fast like all these other people were fasting was really a neat background to me on fasting.
Well, when we get to heaven, we won't have to fast because we won't have any need to draw close to Christ because we'll be there with them. But now it's a great time to practice that experience of drawing close to Christ, and fasting is one way to do that. 1-866-730-4921. Again, if you want to share how fasting has impacted your life, or you know, how the season of Lent is meaningful in your life as we talk about these things leading up to a time of preparation for Easter, you know, chime in. Maybe you got a question. Hey, like I said, you know, just be a part of the conversation. I'm not going to have all the answers for you, but certainly love to talk about it. We'll do our best. But it's always good to talk about these issues. And, you know, fasting is not something that is a common discussion among Christians.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll talk a little bit about why I think that is here in just a moment. But 1-866-730-4921 if you'd like to join in as we talk about fasting and Lent tonight.
All right. Now, yo, here we go. I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Yeah, hot seat for yo.
All right. Now, you know, like I'm pretty much asking the same question that you asked me.
Yeah, that's fine.
In what way?
Steal my material.
Oh, that's fine. It works. We're working off each other here.
It's a tandem.
That's right. In what ways has fasting really impacted your life? Because I know I've heard and I've talked to a lot of people about this and heard their opinions, but you specifically, we'll go into Lent a little bit later on, but for Lent and fasting right now, we'll just discuss that, your personal experience with it and really how it's affected you.
Well, my deal with fasting was I'm easily distracted, to be perfectly honest. And I actually learned fasting from my mom. She, when we were in high school, is when I really first started noticing it. She would often talk about, you know, how she would pray and fast for her kids. And at that time, you know, you're in high school, and it doesn't leave much of an impression. Like, okay, good, mom, way to go. Thanks. I don't need that. I'm cool.
That's okay? Nice.
You know, I can take care of myself, you know, and typical high schooler.
Right.
But, you know, looking back on it and thinking about just the image, you know, she never made a big deal about it, never made a show of it. You know, it was something that, you know, she'd mentioned in passing every now and then when she wanted to share her concern and her love for her kids. But, you know, looking back on it and just thinking of that image of my mom being willing to give up food, eating while she was praying for her kids, first of all, revealed what a heart she had for her kids. And parents, let me just say, no bad thing to fast for your kids. No bad thing at all. I can say that my mom's influence, my dad's influence on us has been profound. All my siblings are saved. I'm walking close with the Lord, which there's not a lot of families that can say that.
Nope.
A 100% saved family is kind of a rare thing. And now that my siblings and I are all grown up, we often discuss that. And just how cool it is that we're not just brothers and sisters, but we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, it took my sister a while to come along and be a part of that. In fact, for a time, she didn't want to be a part of that. She didn't want to be part of the goody-two-shoes religious, you know, like the rest of her brothers. She wanted her own identity. And eventually she realized, well, her identity is really in Christ. And I can't tell you what a blessing it's been to have our sister as a part of being our brother and sister in Christ. And I attribute a lot of that to my mom and her willingness to fast. And so as I grew out of high school and being a know-it-all and into college where you're faced with a lot of questions and times of searching, I started to realize that I got easily distracted, and things like Easter and Christmas didn't mean a lot. They were celebrations on the calendar. And when I was on my own and away from the traditions of my family and facing these holiday seasons, I started to ponder why it was these quote-unquote special seasons for Christians was feeling just more like a regular holiday.
Christmas trees and Easter bunnies.
Right, yeah, you know, no big deal. And that was a point where I realized, well, I think part of it is I'm just so distracted with everything that's going on. I'm distracted because I like playing video games. I'm distracted because I eat chocolate all the time. I'm distracted because, you know, I'm going out and, you know, hanging out with my friends all the time. Whatever the reason. And that was a point at which I, you know, thought about my mom and her Lutheran heritage and the times we went to a Lutheran church for Easter or communion or other things. And, yeah, it was more, you know, stuffy and uptight. But there was a sense of reverence there that I didn't get in some other churches. And the fact that they went about things in a very stringent, ritualistic way. Not because this is the way you're supposed to do it, but because they really wanted to show that God was holy, and mm-hmm. they understood that, and it really left an impression on me. And so I started doing some fasting of my own, and I realized what I needed to fast from wasn't necessarily food. It was the distractions in my life. And, you know, so I'd fast from video games. Not easy for me. And I remember one of the first times, I actually had to physically box up my video game system and everything. Mm-hmm. And give it to my wife and, hey, will you hide this for me? Just put it away somewhere so I can't find it. And that was the only way I could really, really do that. But what I found was when those distractions were removed, I did suddenly have a deeper appreciation for Easter or for Christmas or going to church on Sunday or for reading the Bible on my own at home. And I did feel a sense of drawing closer to God, because I wasn't distracted with other things. And it was such an exciting feeling, you know, to like, wow, so this is what it's like to be, you know, really close. To be really close, communing with the Lord. This is kind of cool. Now, as I've said, you know, I've often drawn some ire from other Christians about my, you know, frivolous things that I fast from. You know, fasting from candy, that's cute and all, but, you know, it's nothing serious. Well, you know, it was serious for me. And, you know, if it sounds all, you know, frivolous to you, fine, whatever. I knew the hold that chocolate had in my life, unfortunately, which I can say actually I've broken free from. So it was a big deal to me. And, you know, then people were like, yeah, but you just go right back to it once you're done with your fast. So what's the point? And I was always thinking, yeah, but when people fast from food, they go back to eating too, and no one looks down on them.
Right.
No one looks down on someone who's fasted for 40 days, and then they have a feast at the end of it, and it's normal. But, you know, when someone's, you know, fasting from some frivolous thing and they go back to it, it's like, well, you know, you never really intended to change, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, to be honest, that was kind of hurtful to me. Mm-hmm. But whatever. This was something very deeply personal to me, and I couldn't let other people's opinion of it sway how I approached my decisions on how I would fast, because I knew the impact it was having on my walk. I knew how personal it was for me, and I knew, sure, it sounds frivolous to someone else, but it was a big deal to me to not play video games, not eat chocolate, to abstain from those particular things. And you know, I've done times where I fasted from food for a day as well, and done some traditional fasts, but it was the things that distracted me most from God were the things that absolutely had to go mm-hmm. for me. And eventually that evolved into an observance before Easter, before Christmas, because those were times, you know, when we're celebrating two of the most important events in all of history, the birth of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Those are big deals, mm-hmm. or at least they should be. Yeah. And I realized I wanted those moments to be special to me. And so that's where Lent came into my yearly calendar. Not out of any compulsion under tradition or ritual or because it was something the church told me to do. It's because I wanted Easter to mean something to me. Not just a day I got up early to go to church and then go home and not find Easter eggs because I'm a really bad Easter egg hunter. but that Easter would really mean something to me. And that leading up to Christmas, with all of the distractions, that I would still find a way to focus on Christ. And we get so busy in the Christmas time, it became really essential to me.
Well, and you guys did Advent this year.
Yeah, well, we've always done Advent. Right. It's been a family tradition. And Advent, again, just a time of preparation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just tossed it in some times of fasting to that, especially in the years that I was really distracted. And just it made Christmas so special, so fresh. And I'd see people who are harried and stressed and, you know, just trying to get through the Christmas season, which always seems so sad to me, but I used to do that as well. And my times of fasting really made it not something I was just trying to get through, but something I could savor and experience the richness of the celebration of and thinking about the impact. God in the flesh born into this world. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's tremendous. And we get distracted from that so easily. And so that's how some regular fasts eventually entered my life. That's a long answer, but does that answer your question?
No, that's awesome. It's good to hear just you touching on the reasons for celebrating fasting observing fasting before specific dates. That it wasn't just, and there's nothing wrong with fasting for a specific reason, be it, you know, to draw closer to God through prayer, or, you know, like I mentioned earlier, if you have an important decision that you have to make, a spiritual decision that you have to make, but to actually observe it because you want those two specific days, the Christmas and Easter holidays, to actually be holy days, to be days where you can look upon them and say, wow, like you said, Jesus Christ came down in the flesh to be born. And then for Easter, he died for us.
And rose again.
And that's not something, you know, I've known a couple people who said, you know, man, I need to go watch The Passion of the Christ right now just so that I can remember. And it's like, just take some time to think about it. You don't have to watch a movie made in Hollywood. People didn't have that movie to turn to, you know, in biblical times. They turned to, you know, scripture all these years leading up to. I mean, even before 2004, they didn't have that movie. People turned to scripture and fasting and prayer to draw closer to Christ, not a movie. Not to say that people can't, you know, be reminded
fine.
Of it through that. But no, there's something very specific about sacrificing something that either overwhelms your time, sacrificing something that is a distraction, something that even something like food, where maybe it's not a distraction for you or anything like that, but it is a good reminder when you have those, like I mentioned earlier, the hunger pains, to go back to the Lord. Something you touched on, I actually want to touch on this real fast. You had mentioned people kind of giving you a hard time about fasting from what you called frivolous things.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference, and I want to make sure everybody knows this, between fasting from something that may not, I mean, like chocolate. Let's use chocolate as an example. There's a difference between fasting from chocolate and fasting from a sin. You're not supposed to fast from chocolate in order to, you know, get away from it. Oh, gosh, you have to, you know, get rid of this thing in your life that has a hold on it. No, you fasted from it for a time, and it meant something to you. Now, I heard a story earlier this week from a friend of mine who had talked to a guy who was observing Lent. He was, you know, observing it in the Catholic Church. And this guy was fasting from premarital sex.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Yeah. I want to make sure that people know, you do not fast from premarital sex. You do not fast from drugs. You do not fast from any sin. You're not supposed to do those. Anyways, it's not something that you fast from and say, okay, my 40-day fast from that is done, and then go back to it. Because I have heard of people doing that before, or even, you know, setting a mark. I'm not going to sin for this long, and maybe if I make it to then I'm going to set another mark. No, you day by day, hour by hour, you are, the Holy Spirit comes into you every second. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I actually heard a message this morning on that, on the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you every second. It's not something that you have to set a mark for and say, well, I hope I make it to that day. So I wanted to point out the difference between those really quick, because I know people who have, you know, quote unquote, fasted from these things. And I really think that takes away the point of of why you're fasting. If you're only fasting for a certain amount of time from a sin, only to go back to it, that kind of takes away the purpose of drawing closer to God if you know at the end of that time you're going to go right back to it.
That's true. On the flip side, gluttony is a sin, and I was certainly gluttonous about chocolate. And one of the reasons, actually, I'll be honest, that I started doing a Lenten fast with chocolate is because I wanted to correct that. It's like, okay, course correction here, and, you know, my course would be corrected for a time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, eventually I slipped into it again. But you know what? Here's the deal. I've broken free from it, mm-hmm. and I can attribute a lot of that to those times where I was like, you know, I got to discipline myself, and I got to correct my course. And sometimes, you know, maybe a fast during Lent before Christmas, sometime during the year, can be a course correction if you're struggling with the sin and sets you on the right course. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. But again, it goes back to the motivation for
right.
it. If you're doing it because, like, oh, well, this will get me by. This will get me some points so I can get into heaven.
Right.
Like, well, that's no better than saying, hey, I go to church every Sunday. Isn't that good enough? No, that's not good enough. Hey, I pray for 40 minutes a day. Isn't that good enough? No, that's not good enough. I mean, that goes back to what we were saying before. It's not by works. It's by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And once we start trying to do it by works, it doesn't matter what it is. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. That should be good enough. No.
Not really.
Afraid not. Not going to do it. So, again, it goes back to the motivation behind it. And that's for any tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you celebrate Christmas? Is it because of tradition? Well, fine, good. I'm glad you have traditions. But does it have meaning? If it doesn't have meaning because there's no heart behind it, then it's just an empty tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said in Galatians that we shouldn't celebrate special days or months or years and that we didn't have to do that anymore. So if you're truly free as a Christian, you know, aren't you violating that? No, I don't think you're violating it if it has meaning for you. If you're just keeping it because you feel like you're supposed to, and it makes you a better Christian to make sure that you know, argue with people who say that it's supposed to be Xmas rather than Christmas. No, it's supposed to be Christ because it's Christmas. And it doesn't really mean anything to you. That's just an empty tradition that we can be free from. But when you have a purpose and a meaning and a heart behind it, then I think you're on the right course for whatever tradition it is that you observe, whatever ritual you may be engaged in. There's nothing wrong with tradition. What makes traditions empty and hollow is when we do them just for the sake of doing them. And that is true of anything, regardless of what time of the year it is or what discipline you may be engaging in. You know, one of the things we talked about before doing the show is people saying, well, there's no command to observe Lent. It's not ordinance of the Bible. And in fact, you can't really find commands that say that you should fast. And I find it interesting that when Jesus talked about fasting, no, he didn't command anyone to fast. But interestingly enough, in Matthew 6, starting verse 16, he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces, blah, 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 blah. It's interesting to think that he says, when you fast. Not if you fast.
But when.
Or if you think about fasting, but when you fast. There was an assumption there that fasting would be a part of a disciple's life, which I find interesting. Well, okay, so it's not a command, but it's an interesting assumption by our Lord and Savior
mm-hmm.
that fasting would be a part of our lives. And so, you know, is there a command to fast? No, but there's an assumption that it can be a regular part of a disciplined Christian's life. And that's a key thing I want to touch on. Self-discipline.
Hmm.
We don't like that in the Western church.
Nope.
We don't like that at all.
We don't like work.
We don't. Yeah, well, that's a whole other topic. but we don't like that idea of self-discipline because, I don't know, my take on it is people are like, well, that means restriction, that means rules, that means regulation, that means legalism, that means all this stuff. We're free from that. I can do whatever we want. And like, fine. You know what? Athletes are free to do whatever they want, but if they want to win, we got the NCAA tournament going on right now, and sure, those college kids could do whatever they want, you know? They're under no compulsion to do what the coach says, except for one thing. They want to win. They want to be a national champion. And so they submit themselves to what their coach asks of them. They submit themselves to training. They discipline themselves to work out, to train, to have a good diet, to practice, to run endless suicides back and forth up and down a court. I always hated those. But they do that because they want to win. It's the same for the Christian life. The reason we have disciplines such as fasting, such as prayer, such as Bible studies, such as meeting together at church is because we want to win. We want to have a victorious life in Christ, and we want that victorious life to change the lives of others. Well, when we're fat, lazy, and slovenly, that's not going to do any good for anybody except to have the world look at us and say, oh, they're no better than I am. They say they have Christ, but doesn't make any difference in their life. What difference does it make? But a disciplined Christian life can draw attention to itself, and people ask, why do you do that? Why do you abstain from this? Why do you behave like that? Why do you refuse to do this? And that opens up doors, because a life of a disciplined disciple of Christ draws attention because it stands out from the rest of the world.
Because the rest of the world kind of lives like that too. Anything really, and when I said work earlier, I meant strictly in the sense that a lot of, I'm going to say, you know, really the Western culture in general, because it's not just Christians.
Yeah.
However, that's kind of what you touch on, is how this discipline, a Christ-like discipline, really makes you stand out. Because our Western culture doesn't like anything that really you have to put a big effort into. It doesn't like anything that you have to work hard at, or it doesn't like sacrificing things. You know, you're not going to see somebody who's not a believer walking around saying, well, I'm going to take that back. I was going to say something, but it actually reminded me of something. I have actually been curiously drawn to a couple people who weren't believers that were having a certain kind of fasting, whether it was for food or something like that, because they felt like, you know, and this is not a Christian thing, but they felt like they needed to become more disciplined or more in tune with themselves and the decisions that they were going to make. So they would do their own personal fast, and they didn't believe in Jesus Christ, but I was drawn to that self-discipline. Now, if you can have self-discipline and have a legitimate reason behind it being Christ and drawing into a deeper relationship with Him, that means so much more than just having, well, I'm fasting because I need better self-discipline. You know, to say I'm fasting because this self-discipline is going to help me in a very personal relationship with somebody who died for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just puts a whole different twist onto it. And so I know, you know, in James 2, it talks about faith without works being dead. And that doesn't mean, you know, you don't go into the legalistic side of that saying, you know, you have to fast at these times and you have to fast from this. And if you don't, then you're going to hell because, you know, you didn't do what we told you to do. That's not the way it works. You know, and I think this is the biggest issue that we're getting across tonight, is the reason behind fasting and Lent, the personal motivation behind it. But if you look at the scriptures, you know, like you said, even Jesus looked at it and pretty much assumed that this is just what's going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, but people are going to fast. So when you do it like this, you know, when you pray, do it like this. When you know, when you're in fellowship with other believers, do it like this. When you have a church, do it like this. That's just the way things are in the scriptures. We're called to a certain standard, and that's not being gluttonous, and that's not being sinful because, hey, you know, we have grace. We are to live by faith, but there should be a level of works that goes into that. Not necessarily, you know, you do these or have eternal death works, but you do these because you want to draw into a deeper relationship with God. You do these because you love God. You know, He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And no, like we just touched on a little while ago, fasting isn't a commandment. But there are a lot of things that you look at in the scriptures. You know, you and I were talking earlier about a lot of Christians thinking that the Ten Commandments are the only things that you have to follow. You know, if I get these down, then we're good. Then, you know, it's fine as long as I'm a good, quote unquote, good Christian and follow these to the T, then we're fine. Well, it doesn't say in the Ten Commandments, pray. It doesn't say in the Ten Commandments to fast. It doesn't say in the Ten Commandments to fellowship. But those are all things that are spoken of in a very high sense. Things that we as Christians benefit us with our relationships with other believers and I mean, number one, with our relationship with God.
Yeah, I think the fact that nobody's called in tonight so far either indicates just how uninterested Christians are in this or just how confused they may be. Like, I don't even know what to think about this, so I'm going to tune into the game. But I find it interesting that we haven't had any calls on this so far.
Mm-hmm.
What gives? 1-866-730-4921. If you got a question or comment about fasting. I remember last year when I talked about Lent on the show, I actually got a lot of calls from our Catholic brothers and sisters who offered some great insights on it.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun to talk with them about that. And, you know, if you got a question or comment, then now's the time to do it. We've got about 20 minutes left. 1-866-730-4921. And transitioning into the whole thing about Lent, one of the reasons that people fast, you look through the Bible, is for repentance. And again, something that we don't do a lot in our Western church often is feel a lot of remorse for sin. We know it's covered under grace. Like, oh, man, I blew it. Whew, God's grace covers. All right, moving on. We don't take a lot of time to reflect in repentance and woe and grief and on our, because that's like old school. You know, that's Old Testament or whatever. And I found it intriguing to think, wow, taking time to really feel bad about your sins. Not that, you know, we have to dwell on that forever.
No,
that we have to be in a perpetual state of guilt. Absolutely not. We are forgiven. We are made righteous. We are made whole. We are made holy. That's awesome. But that doesn't mean that we can't feel bad about our sins. And, you know, you look at, you know, Jonah, the city of Nineveh.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the greatest revival in all of history. That entire city turned to God.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was fasting in sackcloth and ashes, right down to the animals. And I don't know what the deal is with that. But the fact that they were willing to do that to show God that, man, they were truly repentant of their ways. And God saw that and spared that city. I always found that fascinating. And for me, going back to why I celebrate Lent, it gave me a chance to reflect. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. Easter, one of the greatest events in all of history, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins. He rose again to bring us life. Well, this is a great time to reflect. Jesus died for my sins. Every sin I committed, every sin I ever will commit. Jesus died for the sins of the world. And to take a moment and think of that burden, just think of that burden. A holy God bearing unholy sin. What would that feel like then? That would be tremendous.
Right.
And just to take a time to observe and reflect on that, to feel remorse, to repent, to really reflect, man, how much do I dishonor my Lord when I sin? He died on the cross for that. And every time I sin, I should remember the tremendous price that was paid to free me from that sin, to give me grace and redemption from that. And so Lent, as a time of preparation for Easter, is, I think, a great time to reflect on what the event was all about. I mean, like you say, people will watch The Passion to remember that. Yeah, it's all fine and good. But I don't need Hollywood to manipulate me into feeling a certain way. If I can do that through my own devices, through reflection and scripture and prayer, I think that's somewhat more genuine. Not to say that the, you know, being moving music and crying when you're watching a movie can't be genuine, but
no, but it makes
for
between,
me,
yeah.
For me, it was more genuine when I was taking the time to re-reflect on it myself.
To me, it makes it between you and God and not you and the TV. That's just how I look at it. I think that watching The Passion of the Christ can be a beautiful reminder of it.
Uh-huh.
But as far as actually drawing near to God and remembering that sacrifice by talking with him and reflecting on the fact that, I mean, this is, somebody put it to me this way, as far as remembering that sacrifice, imagine how guilty you feel after sinning. I mean, really, that
or should.
Well, even, you know, I'm sure if somebody is a true believer, they have felt guilty over sin at some point.
Let's hope.
Yeah. I mean, I would be a little worried if they didn't.
Yeah, me too.
And so those specific cases where you can, I mean, if you can really look back and remember that gut-wrenching, awful feeling that you felt for one sin. Now imagine putting all of your sin and everybody else's on God's shoulders. Just that, I mean, and we even get, not that we're getting used to sin, but we have sinned. We will sin. And so even though we're not used to it, that's still something we've experienced, is that guilt. Christ never experienced that guilt for sin because he'd never sinned. And yet when he went up on that cross, he took all of that on. I mean, just a flood of guilt and sin. That's really what it was. And so to imagine that is, I mean, I can't really even put words to how it's this mix of being completely and totally beautiful and making me want to cry because it's like, oh my gosh, I put him there. And so, yeah, no, that's definitely something that that fasting kind of helps you reflect back on that.
I guess my calling out of people ignoring fasting worked. We have some people on the line. Heaven is on the line. Welcome to Ron Talk. What do you have to say, Heaven?
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, touching back on when you were talking about fasting becoming a regularity in your life, I just feel like, you know, fasting should never be a regular thing in your life. It should never be a routine thing. Like you're saying, you can set aside a time for it and a schedule for it, but it should never feel like it's a regularity. You know, it should always be something special and something meaningful. And when you were talking about fasting not being a commandment, you know, just as you guys were saying earlier, because we love Christ, you know, out of our love for Christ, we want to obey. And we want to do anything that we can to draw closer to him. And fasting is definitely one of those things. And I just thought that was so important that you were saying that, you know, because we love God, it really comes down to our love for Christ, you know, that we love him and because we want to obey him, we would do it.
I think something that, you know, goes right along with what you're saying is the way sometimes we treat prayer. You know, prayer sometimes becomes a regular ritual. We do it before bed. We do it before we eat. We do it before we face a big final at school.
Mm-hmm.
We do it if the plane's going down. You know, those are the times when you pray. And it can become empty and hollow. And, you know, most Christians won't look at it that way. Like, no, I pray because I'm supposed to as a Christian. Well, yeah, that's good. But it always has to have meaning behind it. And fasting is the exact same thing. In fact, fasting and prayer often go hand in hand. Although we've often pulled those hands apart. Left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And so often in Scripture, they're joined together, which I find is real. But you're absolutely right. Yeah, if you're just doing it to do it, well, it's no good. But that's true. A prayer, Bible study, going to church, giving alms to the poor, whatever. And it's just, for some reason, fasting gets a lot more attention when it comes to that. I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting thing. But I'm glad you emphasized that for us, Heaven. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Hey, Heaven, is that really your name, Heaven?
Yes, it is.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Thank you.
You have a great night, okay?
You too.
All right, bye. And up next, we have Justin on the line. Justin, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Justin?
I just had a quick comment about fasting, and I liked how you had said that you ended up fasting off of chocolate and stuff like that. That's one of the things that's a big vice of mine that is hard to keep off of is the candy bars and all the junk food. And my wife and I both actually ended up fasting for a while and felt that God answered our prayers of answering what I should do with my life in the way of a job, and felt the true calling from God that where I should go, and everything just seemed to be God's way of answering it in the way that everything fell into place.
Well, that's very cool, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes people are like, I don't know what to do, asking God for guidance. Fasting is often a way to sharpen our senses, help us hone in on what God has to say as we remove the distractions. And it's cool to hear someone where that worked for them. So I'm glad you shared that with us, Justin.
Yeah, it actually helped out real good. It helps to keep the distractions out of your life and focus on what God's trying to tell you.
Yes, it does. That is for sure. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Justin.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Well, it's been an interesting conversation for you and I, Mandy. I hope people didn't mind eavesdropping on it. I'm surprised more people didn't call in. But, hey, hopefully it helped people to talk about this. And just a couple things I wanted to mention real quick. Lent is actually one of the oldest observations on the Christian calendar. And self-examination, penitence.
Penitence?
Self-denial, that's it. All of that has always been a part of the Christian life from the very beginning. And Lent just kind of gives it a little bit more focus. Lent has been something that's been discussed by the church since, 130 and from then on. And, you know, it's gone through various phases, you know, what are the 40 days, how do you observe them, and all that type of stuff. But it's something that's been around for a long time. Long before the Catholic Church came along, by the way, just in case people are curious.
Yeah.
And that might, you know, shock some people. But here's the deal. No one's telling you that you need to observe Lent. If you don't want to, then don't. No big deal. Does it help me? Yes, it does. I have no doubt of that. Do people question that and doubt that? Absolutely they do. Have I been mocked for it? Sure I have. Have I been personally insulted over my frivolous attempt to, do something kind of silly and kiddie just to make myself more spiritual and holy? Yes, I have, but that is absolutely not why I have observed Lent. It is something very near and dear to me. No, I'm not Catholic is often the first thing that people often
people
say.
Ask.
Well, why aren't you having chocolate? Oh, I'm observing Lent. Oh, I didn't know you're Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
When have I ever given any indication that I'm Catholic? That has nothing to do with it. I just want my relationship with God to take a priority all throughout the year. Lent is a way that helps redirect that for me. And just a side note on this, am I fasting for Lent this season? No. Actually, I've given up chocolate completely. Have since last year. I haven't touched it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing a quote-unquote fast for Lent. And yet, it's been an interesting experience not having to, set aside something during the season of preparation, the season of Lent, and just thinking about, this is interesting. Here I am. I don't have this distraction. It's that season of preparation before Lent, and it's just as special to me, even though I don't have necessarily something that has a grip on my life. I feel more free than I have in a long, long time because I don't have that addiction to chocolate. And so Lent has been just as special to me, even though I'm not necessarily fasting from anything. It's just a great time because every time I think about, oh, we're moving through the season of Lent. Cool, Easter's on the way. Cool, Jesus died for my sins and rose again. That was the most amazing event in all of history. And just, I've gotten so into the habit of reflecting on what Easter is all about that even when I'm not fasting from something, I can't help but during the season to dwell more and more on that as we mm-hmm. approach Easter. So Lent is special to me even when I'm not fasting from my silly little things.
I'm gonna read something. This is something
Please do.
I found off of a Catholic website, actually. And it was really interesting to me. Just a note, real quick. I don't believe that we should look down upon Catholics for observing Lent. That's a really big
or
thing.
Anyone.
Or anyone. Well,
Lutheran,
but and I
Protestant.
I say specifically Catholic because that seems to be one that is really, really made fun of and looked down upon. And so I really just want to touch on that because there are a lot of Catholics. It's still a Christian faith. I know a lot of Catholics that observe Lent and fasting for the right reasons. And that's really what it comes down to is what the motivation is behind it. We've talked about this all throughout the show. That's really the thing behind it. This was a very interesting article that I read. I'm just going to read this little clip out of it. And the word for penance, I'm going to use the word penance in this because that's what it refers to. It refers back to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says, since penance is a divine command, the general refusal of doing penance is certainly gravely sinful. For most people, the easiest way to consistently fulfill this command is a traditional one. That to me was really interesting because although, like Heaven was saying, although it should not become something that you just do because you're supposed to and something that is just repetitive and
a ritual
right,
without meaning.
There is something to be said about Lent because it does set aside a time where people who normally wouldn't or might have, forgotten it.
Because you're distracted.
Right. Because of that distraction to come before the Lord. It really provides a time where people can kind of step back and go, wait a second. There is reason behind this. There is something that can be done, something that I can give the Lord that has been a distraction to me. And it's a great reminder, and it is a traditional one.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it's done for the purpose of drawing closer to God. That's a really big thing.
Yeah, like I said, for me, my starting of observing Lent was to make sure that my life was on the correct course. And it was a yearly way for me to, okay, let's nudge things back. And as I've done that year by year by year, actually, like I said, I've gotten to a point where this year, okay, it's that time of year where I do a little course correction. Actually, it seems like I'm doing pretty good. That's cool. Hey, I'm excited about that. After all of these years, starting where it had to be a pretty severe course correction and, just nudging a little bit, not to say I'm perfect, all right? No, don't take me wrong. There's still some course correction I can do, but it has become less and less severe and more precious, if that makes sense to anyone.
No,
so,
definitely.
It was good to talk about this,
definitely.
Andy. I hope you got something out of it.
I did, definitely, because this is, like I said at the beginning of the show, I really had no idea about I mean, I had, you know, I knew about fasting and how it had benefited my walk with Christ. But as far as Lent goes, that's never something that I had ever really even considered.
Me either, for many years.
Right. I do want to touch on something real quick before we...
You have a minute and a half.
That's great. I can go fast.
90 seconds.
A lot of people who are listening probably are like me. I'm just going to say that. Probably are like me in the sense they didn't really know much about it, about Lent or even fasting maybe. There are some don'ts for fasting, mm-hmm. and I want to be very specific on these because these are some misconceptions I had, some that I know a lot of other people have. These are some reasons why not to fast. You don't want to fast for these reasons. One, do not fast to lose weight. That is not the reason behind it. If you're doing it for that, it really becomes a selfish purpose.
Although there are health benefits to fasting, interestingly enough.
There are, but again, it goes down to the motivation behind
it.
If you're doing it for that, wrong.
Right.
It's not the way it goes. You're not supposed to fast to punish yourself. Repentance is a whole different thing, but you do not fast to hurt yourself or anything like that because you feel bad.
Christ took the punishment for us.
Exactly. Another thing is don't fast in an unhealthy manner. It's fine to fast from food, but if you get to a point when you cannot get out of bed, it's probably time to eat something.
And don't start with a 40-day no-food fast if you've never fasted ever before.
Exactly. It's unhealthy. It's not something that God does not call us to kill ourselves. He doesn't. That's unbiblical. And another thing is do not fast to become more spiritual than others. Not necessarily to become more spiritual, but do not fast to appear
holier than thou.
More holy than other people.
There you go.
And the last one is don't fast to try to get God to do what you want. If you're fasting because maybe if I give this up, God will give me a new car, that's not the way it works.
You fast to do what God wants.
Again, and again, all of these things, all these, do not fast because they all come down to motivation. Every single one of them.
It's good practical advice. I'm glad you touched on that.
Thanks.
And so that's going to bring us to the end of another Raw Talk. Next week, we're going to take a look at something else that can often be uncomfortable for the Christian, sharing your faith with other people. And that is something that some people shy away from. That's for evangelists with the gift of evangelism. No, not so much. And we're going to explore how we can make evangelism a part of our daily conversations. And it's going to be good. We're going to have the Geislers, Norman and Dave Geisler, or at least one of them, joining us for the program. I'm reading through their book right now, Conversational Evangelism. Very enlightening. I'm excited to do the show. It's always good to go back and touch on evangelism, something we should all be in, and they give some really good practical advice on how to approach it. Without fear, my friends. And that's going to wrap things up for Raw Talk. Thanks for hanging out with me, Mandy.
Thanks, yeah.
Good conversation.
Definitely.
I feel like we should have been sipping tea or something while we were doing this.
Why didn't we?
I don't know.
We'll see you next time.
All right. See you next time. And hope you guys have a shway evening in the Lord. We'll see you next week for Raw Talk on M88.
Thanks for joining us on Raw Talk on M88. Get the podcast of tonight's show free at m88.org. And join us again next week for more Raw Talk on M88.